this morning will be according to divine scriptural prescription in spirit and in truth. Everything carnal, excluded, buried. Everything carnal, destroyed, removed. In our worship service this morning, we seek for God's glory and glory alone. And whatever attitude, comportment, behavior that will not glorify God, with disease from manifesting it as we gather in His presence this morning. Open your mouth and pray. In Jesus' name we pray. In Jesus' name we pray. Our holy and righteous God, we thank you so much this morning. We bless and glorify your name for the privilege to gather in your presence, come into your house to worship you. Lord, we are privileged people to be counted among those who worship you in spirit and in truth. We pray therefore that you will guide us in all that we do here this day, that your name and name alone will be glorified in Jesus' name. Thank you because you have had an answer. For in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We remain on our feet as we take our congregational song, Gospel Hymns and Song number 5. Gospel Hymns and Song number 5. Never be sad or desponding. If thou hast faith to believe, grace for the duties before thee, ask of thy God and receive. What if thy burdens oppress thee? What though thy life may be drear? Look on the bright, on the side that is brightest. Pray, and thy path will be clear. Never be sad or desponding. There's a morrow for thee. Soon thou shalt dwell in its brightness. There with the Lord thou shalt be. Never be sad or desponding. Lean on the arm of thy Lord. Dwell in the depths of his mercy. Thou shalt receive thy reward. Never give up, never give up. Never give up to thy sorrows. Jesus will be them the path. Trust in the Lord, trust in the Lord. Sing when your trials are greatest. Trust in the Lord and take heart. Shall we close our eyes as we go to the Lord in prayer? Our most high and eternal God, we thank you because you have told us this morning that we should never, never give up. In times of trials and tribulations that may come our way, the grace to trust in the Lord, the grace to take heart, Almighty God, grant unto us in Jesus' name. Lord, you are ever with those that draw close to you. Lord, in time of trials, help us to draw ever closer to you in Jesus' name. And all the grace that we need,
the mercy of heaven that we need. Lord, implant it in our lives in Jesus' name. We thank you, Father, because you have heard us. Teach us this morning from your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Good morning, class. Last week we studied lesson number 893, Christian Comportment in Adversity. And in that study we learned that all that will live godly in Christ Jesus must suffer persecution. But in that time of adversity, our attitude should be that of patience, endurance. Our attitude should be prayerfulness and have an uncompromising attitude and character and have faith in the Almighty God. The Lord will keep us in times of our adversities in Jesus' name. Today, we are progressing to lesson number 894, and the title is Trial of Faith. Shall we say it together? Once more time. Our text is taken from 1 Peter chapter 1, and we're reading verses number 1 to 12. 1 to 12. I want somebody from the choir to please rise up to read for us. And while he comes to read, our memory verse is taken from 1 Peter chapter 1, verse number 7. Will somebody be able to recite for our memory verse for us this morning? Yes, my brother there.
First Peter chapter 1, verse 7. That the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ.
Amen. Shall we all read it together after the count of 2, 1, 2, go? That the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. The Lord will strengthen us, that the trial of our faith will bring glory and honor to the Lord in Jesus' name. Can we have a reading of the sad scriptures?
Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Grace unto you and peace be multiplied. Blessed be God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Wherein ye greatly rejoice though now, for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor, glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, ye love, in whom, though now ye see him not, ye yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ which was then did signify, which was in them, did signify when he testified beforehand the suffering of Christ and the glory that should follow, unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves but unto us they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you, which the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into.
Thank you, and God bless you. We see in the lesson today, studying from the first epistle of Peter the Apostle, that the writer introduced himself as an apostle of Jesus Christ. He was writing to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. And let us look at the characteristics of these people that he was writing to. They were strangers and elect of God, sanctified by the spirit of obedience and the sprinkling of the blood of Jesus. We see that this letter is a letter of hope and encouragement and reassurance and comfort in times of trials and tribulation. Let's look at 1 Peter chapter 4. I'm reading from verse number 1. It says, "For as much then as Christ has suffered for us in flesh, arm yourself likewise with the same mind. For he that has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, that he no longer should live the rest of the life of his time in the flesh, in the lust of men, but unto the will of God." He was telling them of the fact that indeed, reminding them of the fact that God has done so much for them in their life. And he has given them the power to be able to overcome in times of temptation, in times of trials. And it's my prayer that as this letter is being considered this morning, we too, in times of our trials and temptations and problems that may come our way, we have hope in God in Jesus' name. We have encouragement from the Lord and from the Word of God in Jesus' name. We have a reassurance of the fact that God is with us. He will never leave us nor forsake us in Jesus' name. We're going to consider this message under three headings. Number one, we're looking at apostolic salutation and charge to the elect. Apostolic salutation and charge to the elect. Point number two, we're looking at the attitude of believers during trial of faith. The attitude of believers during trial of faith. And point number three, we're looking at assurance of believers' eternal salvation foretold. Assurance of believers' eternal salvation foretold. Let's look at point number one, apostolic salutation and charge to the elect. The Apostle Peter identified the recipients of this letter to be strangers and the elect. Strangers because they are separated, peculiar, different people from the sinners around them. And let's look at 1 Peter chapter 2. I'm reading from verse number 9. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse number 9 says, "But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts, which war against the soul, having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, whereas they speak against you as evildoers, that they may, by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of your visitation." Peter was talking to them as people that indeed knew that they were different, they were strangers, they were on a journey through this world, they were going to heaven. Elect, because the work of the triune God was done in their lives. If we look at the passage we have read, verse 2, we see that they had the foreknowledge of God in their salvation. They had the sanctification of the God, the Holy Spirit, and they were washed by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, question number one, why are these Christians regarded as strangers and pilgrims on earth? Why are they regarded as strangers and pilgrims on earth? Can I have somebody from my left-hand side here? Yes, my brother.
Christians are pilgrims and strangers on the earth because we are on our way to heaven. This place is not our final destination.
Thank you very much. Heaven is our home. We are strangers and pilgrims on the journey to heaven. It's my prayer that we'll get there safely and in peace and in joy in the name of Jesus Christ. We see that from verse number 3, Peter the Apostle through the Spirit of God, was reminding them the reason why they must rise up and overcome the temptations that may come their way, the trials of their faith. He says in verse number 3, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy have begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time." We see here Peter was reminding them and reminding us the fact that indeed giving them a charge that they must remember that there is a provision that God has made for them. There is a price that God has paid for their salvation. There is a promise that God has given to them, and that the power of God is surrounding them. First of all, the provision that God has given to them said there is abundant mercy of God to show them the way of salvation. Abundant mercy from the Lord. Abundant mercy from the Lord. This abundant mercy is not a mercy that is cheap. There is a big price that was paid, a precious price that was paid. And this price is the death and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary. The one that the sinless one that came to this earth and died and paid the full price for us to be received from God. In Titus chapter 2, I'm reading from verse number 11. It says, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope, the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works." He said that there is a price, a great price that was paid. Not only that, there is a promise that God has made, because he has given us a lively hope now and an inheritance that is incorruptible, undefiled, unchanging, reserved in heaven for us. Not only that, there is a power of God that is manifested. He says that they should remember that they are kept by the power of God. Kept by the power of God. In times of trials, in times of temptation, we must remember these things. That there is provision that God has given to us. There is a price that has been paid upon our head in bringing us unto God. There is a promise of eternity. And then there is a power that God has made available for us. In John chapter 10, I'm reading from verse 27. John chapter 10, verse 27. "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I have given to them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which giveth them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one." Jesus Christ is keeping us, is watching over us. In times of trial, he will see us through all the problems we have, in Jesus' name. Can we take another question? What can believers learn from the salutation and the charge to the elect that Peter has given here? What can we learn? What lesson can we learn? Can I have a sister on the right-hand side here? A sister, please. What lesson can we learn? Okay. Can I have a brother there? What lesson are we learning? Yes, my sister.
There was no carnal praise and flattery.
Thank you very much. Peter, the apostle, was writing to them and encouraging them and letting them know that indeed there is a price that has been paid for them, because he is now going to encourage them to be able to rise up and stand against every trial and temptation that may come their way. Point number 2, attitude of believers during trial of faith. Jesus Christ has told us in Mark chapter 24 that at the coming of the Lord, is drawing near, there will be times of trials and persecution. that indeed this will increase, but we should endure to the end, because he that endureth to the end, the same shall be saved. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse number 12. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse number 12. Look at what the word of God is telling us. It says that ye and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. It says in verse number 14, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned, and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. It's my prayer that in times of trials and persecution, we'll continue in the faith in Jesus' name. Apostle Paul has given to us an example of what trial of faith means by telling us that indeed the trial of faith is like gold being purified by fire. Gold being purified by fire. And let us remember that when gold is being purified by power, by fire, the following things are true of that purification process. Number one, the trial is for a limited time. It's for a limited time. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, I'm reading verse number 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. It says that there hath no temptation taken you, for such as is common to man, but God is faithful, who will not suffer you, allow you, permit you to be tempted above that ye are able, but we with the temptation also make a way of escape, that ye may be able to bear it. The trial is for a limited time. It has an expiring date. Not only that, the trial is not meant to destroy, but to purify. Whatever we are going through, let us know that it's not meant to destroy us, but to make us better. Number three, the trial is to strengthen us, that after we have overcome the trials, it will bring honor and glory to God, and it will bring an example to other believers that God has the ability and the power to overcome and to take us through every trial. We should also note that believers' attitude through trials. The time of trial is not a time to think that God has forsaken us or has forgotten us. But the passage we have read today says that we should praise God and rejoice. You see, we should see the test that we are passing through as stepping stones to testimonies. Not only that, we should express our love and faith and confidence in the Lord Almighty God. Not only that, we should know that a time of trial is a time to draw near to God, because the Bible says he himself will draw near to us. Let's look at Romans chapter 8, and we see that times of trials are times that God is telling us, assuring us, that nothing will take us away from the Lord as long as we stay close unto the Almighty God. Romans chapter 8, I read some verses there. Verse 35, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? It says in verse 37, nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors. We are more than conquerors in Jesus' name. It says we are more than conquerors through Jesus, through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And you just say, amen. We see that God preserves and protects his own, and he will keep us until the very end in Jesus' name. The time of testing and trial is not a time to give up. It's not a time to draw back. It's a time to draw close to the Lord. And we will take us through in Jesus' name. Point number three, assurance of believers' eternal salvation foretold. The Bible tells us in the passage we have read that the salvation that we have is something that God has prepared before time. It was not just an afterthought. It's something that he has prepared. And he has revealed in the Old Testament the fact that salvation was coming, dear Christ was coming. Let's read some verses to be able to understand it. In Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. Therefore, the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and thou shalt call his name Emmanuel. in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6 and 7. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6 and 7. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. The government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David, upon his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth forever. And the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. The word of God is telling us that Christ has already been foretold as coming. His death on the cross of Calvary, what he suffered for us, the provision that he made for us, the grace that he brought to us, have been shown in Isaiah chapter 53. Isaiah chapter 53. We see there that indeed he says he has borne. Verse 3 says, he is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we did it as it were, hid our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. The word of God is making us to know that the Old Testament prophet had a foreknowledge of the coming of the Messiah, of his suffering, and the glory that will follow. The promise of God of salvation for mankind has been fully made known, and God wants us to know and understand that indeed he has a plan for every believer, every child of God. Whatever is coming our way, we should know that God is with us. His hand is with us. His favor is with us. His grace is with us. He will never leave us alone in Jesus' name. The work of the Holy Spirit is also brought here, that the Spirit of God is the paraclete, the one that is close to us. In times of trial, know that you are not alone, that God is with you. The Lord will strengthen us in Jesus' name. His grace will rest upon us in Jesus' name. His mercy will surround us in Jesus' name. But now, how can sinners partake of this great salvation that God has given? How can sinners partake of this great salvation foretold, presented now, that people are already enjoying? How can sinners today partake of this great salvation that God has given to us? Yes, my brother there.
A sinner must recognize that Jesus died for his sin and he has come to rescue him, and therefore he will acknowledge Jesus Christ as his Lord and personal Savior and repent from all his sins.
Thank you very much. Every sinner here this morning, know that you have a great inheritance, and God wants you to receive that inheritance here today so that your life is hid in Christ and in God. From the passage today, we have seen that God has made provision for us by the salvation, God of mercy, the mercies of God, by the salvation that he has promised and given to us. That a great price has been paid for the salvation of our soul. Precious price. That the promise of eternity with God in heaven is there with us. That God has made the power available to keep us unto the very end. Let us note also that trial is for a limited time. That trial is not meant to destroy us. That trial is supposed to strengthen us and make us more of what God wants us to be. That during the time of trial is a time never to give up, never to leave the fellowship of the believers, but it's a time to hold on to God. It's a time to see God at work in your life. It's a time to be able to get testimonies. It's a time to express our love and faith and confidence in the Almighty God. It's a time also to draw close to God. Draw close to God. In James, let's read from James chapter 4. I read from James chapter 4, a time to draw close to the Lord, a time to resist the devil. And the Bible says, he will flee from you. James chapter 4, I'm reading verses 7 and 8. It says, submit yourself therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. The Lord will help us to cleanse our hands and to purify our hearts so that we can receive all the blessing and grace and help that heaven has provided for us in Jesus' name. Shall we rise up on our feet as we go to the Lord in prayer? Remember that the time of trial is a time of prayer. The time of trial is a time of trust. The time of trial is a time of holding on to God. The time of trial is a time of drawing near unto God. Draw near unto God, and He will draw near unto you. Let's open our mouth and talk to God, that God, trial will not take us away from you. It will bind us closer to you in Jesus' name. Open your mouth and talk to the Lord in prayer. In Jesus' name we pray. Almighty God, we thank you for your word that we have received this morning. We thank you because the trial of our faith is supposed to make us stronger, better, and closer unto the Almighty God. It's not to take us away from the Lord, not to take us away from the fellowship, from the house fellowship, from the church. Lord, we are praying that the trial of our faith will make us stronger in Jesus' name. And all the grace that we need to overcome, as an example to others, that grace is abundant in our life. Almighty God, grant it unto us in Jesus' name. Father, we thank you because you have heard us. In Jesus' name we pray.
Praise the Lord. So we want to take questions from the teaching of this morning, Trial of Faith. So if you have any question, please, you can come forward to ask your question. If you have any question, wherever you are, you can please rise up and come to the front, to where we have the mic, so that you have the opportunity to ask your question.
Any question? Yes, sister.
Yes,
just
brother.
Keep standing. Let's identify other people.
Good morning, sir.
Good morning.
Yes, any other question?
My question is based on the study of today. In the area whereby a believer has been desiring,
we don't want question after question,
and he has been praying for it for a long time.
Have question now, please come out.
So and it's not forthcoming. And maybe you discover that maybe it's part of the trial of faith to see if you are going to continue standing with God. Maybe along the line, the believer decides to stay back, to pray more. When I mean stay back, maybe you decide not to be taking step towards that very thing anymore. You decide to stay back, to pray more, to get more direction from God instead of taking step about it. So I want to know, is that a good decision? That's
right.
Number one question, sir. And secondly, in the area of evangelism, I'm just trying to emphasize on that area. As a believer, you see that you have been trying your best as you can, but you discover that you are not really getting the fruits. And you try and try, use a lot of methods.
Praise the Lord.
At the end of the day, you are not able to get what you expect, sir.
In verse 2.
In this regard, if a believer decides to step back,
she said,
in the area of evangelism,
mentioned in verse
only
2,
emphasizing
as the Bible also
on praying alone,
elect according
as to
the foreknowledge
to make
of
progress
God
in this area,
the
is
Father.
This still a good
and that
decision?
The teacher mentioned that some people
right,
of some churches
much.
Regard us as the doctrine of eternal security, meaning
okay, sister,
God has predestinated
question.
Some people. And I've known from the beginning that these are
good
the people
morning,
that
sir.
Will be converted.
Good
and
please,
so
sir.
God has selected them to our conversion. So meaning whatever anybody intends to do,
when I was at
that
Bariga,
if you are outside, those people that God has selected
when
to
I was at
be converted,
Bariga,
there is no way you will have been among them.
From
and, but those that God has selected,
Bariga,
whatever they do,
that
there
flood.
Is nothing that will happen
so when
to them
came,
will naturally get to heaven.
Husband,
that's
no
the teaching, the first teaching
okay, thank
of
you.
Eternal
so,
security. that God has already known, know that will be converted. So others that were not in that area,
I told
that
the woman
will not
that
be. And our teacher mentioned that that's a false doctrine according to the teaching of the word of God. Our sister still wants to know more about that area.
Now,
as I explain to you,
I will eventually get there.
Please hold on.
Something that was bad.
Can you hear me very well?
I can't hear you, but to save time, let me take the first question. Okay, maybe you ask your question now.
I helped the woman.
Go straight to your question. What's the question?
The question is this: I helped the woman. So I said, after I don't have money, oh please, you will return it. For it is 8 years since I separated from my extended family. The woman said he will do so. So I helped the woman. There are people who have came to me that I should not help her, that is wicked. Me, I did not believe because of the situation of the family. So the woman used the money after a year and 9 months.
So what's your question?
I said you should give to me. The woman refused. So when he came to me, he said he will use the gain that he make on top of that money to fight me. Since I refused to leave the money for her, and I did not have, I wouldn't have collected from her. So since that time, the woman have called me thief everywhere I go. At Bariga, even Elijah Church, almost all the members know me as a thief. Now I've moved to my 12. One of the relations saw me. He disgraced me in the market. I don't know what to do. This
all right,
is getting
thank you.
Too much
thank you.
Me.
I've got what you are saying. God bless you. Praise the Lord.
Yes.
Now the question of our brother that you have a problem, and then you have prayed, and then after you have prayed, you are not taking time to step aside or to step back. That what is that right? Stepping back, or in fact, the Bible is very clear and very straight on whatever we are asking God what to do and how to handle and how to behave and how to go about our lives, especially when we are looking up to God. We have examples in the scriptures. That's why the Bible has given us opportunity for importunity. If you look at Luke chapter 18, you don't step back. If you step back, you are giving chance. You are giving space. In fact, you should be stronger. Just like the people of old did. But let's see what Jesus says in Luke chapter 18. In Luke chapter 18, just to address the question of our brother. Luke chapter 18, I read from verse 1. He says, and he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to do what? And that is it. If we are stepping back, that means you are trying to give up. You are trying to, you know, say, I've not done enough. No, but the Bible says we should pray always. We should keep talking to God. God knows the time that we give you what you're asking Him. He knows the appropriate time. And at the appropriate time, He will answer your prayer. I can hear amen. Then it just says, He knows why do we have this in the scriptures? He knows there are some people that have been praying and praying and praying and eventually faint. Maybe because of pressure, maybe because of discouragement, maybe because of whatever. It depends on your situation. But one thing like we had in the song that we sang this morning, never give up. Stay at the point of praying, never faint. And that's why we have it, it says, saying, there was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regard man. And there was a widow in that city, that she came unto him, saying,
avenge me of my adversary, and you will not for the while. But afterward, he said within himself, though I fear not God, nor regard man, yet because this woman troubleth me, I will avenge her. I will avenge her, lest by her coming, by her continuous coming, what will happen? We weary me. So we see here, Jesus gave this parable that we shouldn't give up, we shouldn't faint, we should continue. And that does not mean you will stop the service you are doing for the Lord. You are to remain steadfast. In fact, it's in your steadfastness and not breaking off or setting aside or coming apart except to sin. If there is no sin, you continue. You pray anytime you want to pray. You pray as if you have not prayed. And that's what strengthens one in prayer. You pray as if you have not prayed. Anytime you come to God, don't charge God and say, I've come before. See this woman. She kept on, according to the parable of our Lord Jesus Christ, she kept on repeating the same thing. And at the appointed time, just like this judge responded, God will respond to your problems in Jesus' name. I say, God will respond to your problems in Jesus' name. The second question is similar. That if I've been preaching, I've not got fruit. Don't quit. Even when you are preaching, see the case of the apostles in Acts chapter 5. They were preaching, they faced difficulties, they faced problems. They didn't quit. In fact, this should be your prayer. The prayer they prayed should be your prayer. What was their prayer? Do you know, when they faced this difficulty, the difficulty was so serious, it was so tough to the point that these apostles, they came together and then they started praying. But look at the content of their prayer and look at what they did despite that. They were praying before going out. They went out, they were reaching out for souls. They were faced with a lot of difficulties and persecution, contradiction. They kept on preaching, they beat them, they did everything against them. But then, see how they prayed. And then, when they prayed, what did they do? What was the content of their prayer? Because of time, let me pick from verse 28, Acts of Apostles chapter 4, from verse 28. He says, for to do whatever thy hand and thy counsel determine before to be done. For to do, they are telling God, do what you have in your program. You have not stopped. God, you will not stop. And we too, we will not stop. See what they now said in verse 29. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings. They never gave up. And great, I say, behold, they are threatening, and grant unto thy servant that with all what? I say, with all what? Boldness. They didn't set aside. With all boldness, they may speak thy word. As you go out, you face whatever. They are not responding. What do? Come back to God, pray, and go back. Ask God, give me more strength. Give me more grace. Give me more wisdom. Give me more enablement. Give me more understanding of the word. Check your salvation. Check your sanctification. Check the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Check all these Christian experiences. You know, you renew yourself in these Christian experiences, and with that renew heart, you fire back. Not that you will say, I will give up 1 month. No, these people didn't do that. They came immediately. They prayed. And they prayed for additional strength, more boldness. They were bold before, but they asked for additional boldness. You were bold before, you get more boldness in Jesus' name. See what they say? They said, by stretching forth their hand to heal,
and that signs and wonders might be done by the name of thy holy child, Jesus. And when they had done what? Prayed. When you should ask the reason, what will help you to do better than what you have done, even before you pray. Despite that you are praying and you have prayed, you ask God for what will help you to do better. See them. They said, when they have prayed, God responded. The place was shaking where they were assembled together. There they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And they, what did they do? Did they continue in that prayer and then they abandoned the field? Let's read it together. I said, what did they do? They spake the word of God with what? Boldness. So we should learn from the apostles. And then we should learn from what happened there. In fact, if you look at chapter 5, you see chapter 5 in verse 42. You see, after these people, look at verse 40. And it says, to him they agreed. And when they had called the apostles, answer me, church. You see, that's where many people are losing the grace of God and we are getting disconnected from God. God has sent us to the field. He has not sent us there to withdraw from the challenges on the field. How will the power come? How did it come to Paul? How did it come to these apostles? It's when you remain on that field, praying and pressing, praying and fighting, praying and continuing, and continue with more grace. That's where we get more grace from the Lord. Let's look at what the Bible says here. It says they were beating them. They commanded them. What did they command them? That they should not speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. See what happened in verse 41. And they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing. Whatever the trial, the first thing we should do, we should be rejoicing. We should be happy. See, what were they rejoicing? What were they happy? I pray no trial will take away, no persecution, no challenge on the field. In this Christian journey we are running to, we are making to heaven, we make us to lose our joys in Jesus' name. They left the presence of the council. What were they doing? They said, council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer. It's a privilege for us to suffer for Christ. To suffer shame for his name. Let's read together verse 42. My brother who asked the question, let's read together verse 42. 1, 2, go. There is a word I want you to take note there. When I get to it, I will remind you. See what it says in verse 42. And daily, if they were not doing it daily before, they said, we will not stop. You will not stop. I said, you will not give up. So they say, daily in the temple and in how many houses? Despite, who are they? Where, did they change their location? Did they change where they were? No, the same place. They remain. That was why God visited them. God will visit us again in Jesus' name. As we do what they did, God will bless us in Jesus' name. See what happened there? And say, daily, in every house, look at that wall. They did what? They ceased. No. Ceased not. They didn't give room for any minute, for any time. They ceased not to teach and to preach who? Jesus. It is your turn. Whatever the trials, thank God the teacher taught us what to do. We rejoice. We keep praying. We keep believing God. You are not to withdraw. Avoid anything that will make God not to answer your prayer. Check your spiritual life. check your way. Are you obeying God? Are you following God? You are patient and you are depending on God. And the Bible says, the just shall live by what? By faith. If you have that faith, you will not withdraw. You will not draw back. Because the Bible tells us in Hebrews that God will not have joy in those that are drawing back. You will not draw back in Jesus' name. By the special grace of God, with the study of today, we are going out with the power of God. I can hear you. Amen. We are going with the strength of God. We will do like Jesus told us. We should always pray. Pray, not only praying like the disciples. They prayed. God visited them with the power of the Holy Ghost. And they continued. We continued in the service of work, in the service of the Lord in Jesus' name. Tell the Lord, I have no right. Let's rise up now. And tell the Lord, I have clear understanding. If you have withdrawn from the service of the Lord because of one trial, come back. It's in that service. It's in that labor. Work. It's in that battle. The soldiers of this, the army of this country, soldiers in the battlefront, will not be reinforced if they leave the battlefront. How do you reinforce the soldiers? Right at the battlefront. The hotter the battle, the hotter the reinforcement. The same thing with God. The hotter the battle, look at the disciples of old. The hotter the battle, the hotter the reinforcement. Open your mouth and pray. And say, Lord, I'm reaching out afresh. Whatever happens. Do you remember what the teacher taught us in Romans chapter 8, what Paul said? Nothing will separate me. Nothing will make me to look back. In fact, embarrass the devil with your determination. Insult the enemy with your commitment. It's when you are there, you are praying, you are fighting, you are reaching out, that the power of God will come upon you. That the grace of God will come upon you. God knows. I say God knows the outcomes, the battle is. And he will give you corresponding grace. He will give you corresponding power. He will never allow you to be a prey. So don't give up. Don't withdraw. Even if there's any sickness there, thank God for the power night of this month. I believe everything that is troubling your life will disappear. And the Lord is going to strengthen every one of us. Let's pray. I'm not going to say I want to go and pray for 30 days. I want to go and pray. What will happen to the field? If Jesus should come before that 30 days, all these sinners will die and their blood will be required out of our hands. No break, no retirement, no stopping. We are marching forward. Marching forward, whatever the pain, like Stephen did, Stephen was marching forward. They were stoning him. They were battling him. They were kicking him. They were beating him. Right at the point of death, he kept on marching forward. He looked up to God. Whatever you are passing through, look up to God. We will see Christ standing at the right hand of God saying, I've seen, I know your affliction. I'm ready to free you. I'm ready to bless you. I'm with you. You will pass through successfully. It will soon become a history. It will become something that is past. You will soon share testimony. The people of God share testimony. After the place we read now, they said multitudes came to the Lord. Multitudes came to the Lord. We are getting the strength of God. Whatever is happening, whatever has not happened, whatever may still happen, we are ready to press forward. We are ready to move forward. We are ready to continue on to the end until we'll be able to share testimony. I have fought a good fight of faith. And then you see that crown that the Lord has reserved for you, that the Lord you have been reading about, just like Stephen saw Jesus. And Stephen didn't, after he saw Jesus, he still prayed for sinners. He said, Lord, lay this charge not upon them. What a great man of God. What a great strength. And you know, Jesus answered that prayer. Paul, Saul was saved, and the kingdom of God kept on moving on. Don't withdraw. Don't give up. If you give up, the devil will be happy. If you surrender, the enemy will be happy. How will you surrender? Our Savior didn't surrender until he purchased this salvation for us. Our Savior didn't give up. Even when the church scattered, the first church, when they scattered, he still went ahead. He went after Peter at the riverside. And then, lovest me that more than this, he brought Peter back. Peter came back. It was better for Peter. Wherever you have gone to, wherever you have scattered to, come back like Peter. The power of the Holy Ghost will reach your life. And you have to go back to the field. As we live here today, all of us, let's go back to the field. Let's remain on the field. Let's never give up. Let's never allow anything to shift us or to shake us. And we keep on battling. And testimony in heaven is that God will be happy with us and be empowering us and be reinforcing us and be increasing his grace upon us and be increasing signs and wonders in the name of Jesus. And great things will be taken, will be happening until the whole land is taken over. In Jesus' name we pray. Father in heaven, none of us will give up. None of us will faint. All the fainting giants, they will rise from this morning in Jesus' name. Especially when you observe to be coming, more grace, more strength upon us in Jesus' name. We will remain at our duty post. Until we finish our course, we will not leave, we will not shift, we will not move. We will continue to endure and fight this battle of faith to the end in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name we pray.
must come no more.
Be bold, be brave, hold fast. Amen. Pray out, oh
Lord.
Praise the Lord. want to rise on our feet as we take our congregational song. Gospel hymns and song, number 24. It is well with my soul. When peace like a river attended my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my Lord thou hast taught me to know, it is well with my soul. Though Satan should buffet, if trial should come, let this blessed assurance control that Christ has regarded my helpless estate and has shed his own blood for my soul. My sin, oh, the bliss of this glorious thought, my sin, not in part, but the whole, is nailed to his cross, and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord, O my soul. For me, be it Christ hence to live. If Jordan above me shall roll, no pang shall be mine. For in death as in life, thou wilt whisper thy peace to my soul. But Lord, 'tis for thee, for thy coming we wait. The sky, not the grave, is our goal. O trump of the archangel, the voice of the Lord, blessed hope, blessed rest for my soul. It is well with my soul. It is well with my soul.
Oh,
Gospel hymns and song number 101. My Father knows. He knows the bitter, weary way, the endless striving day by day, the soul that weep, the souls that pray. My Father knows, my Father knows. He knows when faint and worn we sink, how deep the pain, how near the brink of dark despair we pause and shrink. My Father knows, my Father knows. He knows how hard the fight has been, the clouds that come are lies between, the wounds the world has never seen. My Father knows, my Father knows. He knows, O heart, take up thy cross, and know its treasure are but draws, and all will prove as gain, not loss. My Father knows, my Father knows. We remain our feet as we go to the Lord in prayer. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people, and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him, and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. We want to lift up our voice and give thanks unto the Lord this morning. Let's enter his gate with thanksgiving. Let's come with praise unto our God. Because he is a sovereign God. There is none else known outside him. He is the creator of the heavens and the earth. He is your creator. He is your maker. Let's worship him because of his mercy that endures to everlasting. Let's worship the Lord for his truthfulness. Open your mouth and bless the Lord this morning. Glorify him for who he is, the unchanging God, the covenant-keeping God, whose word will never come back unto him void. Is a great God we serve here. Worship him this morning. Exalt and glorify his name. In Jesus' name we pray. Church, in Jesus' name we pray. It's now time to give our tithes and offering. Can you please put your hands into your wallet, your bag, or your pocket and bring out what you want to offer to the Lord? In Malachi chapter 3, I read from verse number 10. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house. And prove me now herewith, say the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before time in the field, say the Lord of hosts, and all nations shall call you blessed. For ye shall be a delightsome land, says the Lord of hosts. Let's stress up our tithes and offering as we pray together. Everlasting Father and God, we thank you because of the privilege of coming into your presence the first day of the week. And also, Lord, for not coming before you empty-handed. All the hands that are raised up, Lord, I pray you receive the offering, the tithes of your people. And in return, you bless them beyond measure in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, we pray. Open your eyes, please. Drop your tithes, your offering or whatever it is, in the bags that our brethren are passing around. And please maintain the attitude of prayer. We're going to pray for the church this morning. And the Lord Jesus tells us of his church in Matthew's Gospel chapter 16. I read there in verse 18. And I say also unto thee, that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Can I hear an amen from the church? Amen. Let's lift up our voice this morning and pray that this word of the Lord will be fulfilled in his church in Nigeria. No hell, no gate of hell shall prevail against the church of God in this nation. Open your mouth and pray. Church, I want to hear you talk to the Lord. Let there be confirmation of his word that the gates of hell shall never prevail against his church. In Jesus' name, we pray. For nation, I read in Psalm 122 and verse 6, pray for the peace of Jerusalem, they shall prosper that love thee. Peace being within thy walls and prosperity within thy palaces. Let's commit our nation unto the hand of the Lord and pray that peace will rule. The peace of God from the north to the south, the east and the west, the four quarters of this nation, the peace of God will reign. No more violence in our land. Open your mouth and prophesy. For our nation, peace. Abundant peace. Peace. Reigning peace. Peace. Prevailing peace upon our nation. The east, the south, the north, the west, the six geopolitical zones, prophesy peace of God upon our nation. The Lord will silence all those that are beating drums of war in any part of this country. The Lord will weaken their hands. The Lord will silence them. In Jesus' name, we pray. I want to pray for our general superintendent, our Father in the Lord. And I read from Isaiah chapter 11, verse 2. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. The Spirit of wisdom and understanding. And the Spirit of counsel and might. And the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. Let's commit our GS unto the hand of the Lord. That exceptional wisdom the Lord will give unto him. Abundance of grace to serve him continually, faithfully, unto the end. Pray for his protection, his preservation, his safety and security, wherever he goes. Open your mouth and pray. That every arrow, every weapon of the air devil, fashion, formed against him, against his wife, against his family, against the ministry, will never, ever prosper. In Jesus' name, we pray. You have come into the house of the Lord this morning. What do you want from the Lord? Open your mouth now and talk to the Lord. Are you here for sightseeing? Are you here to make friends? Are you here for business? Or you come this morning to meet with the Lord, the creator of the heaven and earth, the God that saves, the God that sanctifies, the God that fulfills the promise of the power of the Holy Ghost upon the sanctified, the God that heals and delivers? Talk to him in prayer this morning. He is here. I say, call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. He says, if you ask anything in my name, I will do it. A faithful God, a prayer answering God. You are in his presence this morning.
you will be doing yourself a great world of good by calling upon him, by bringing your petitions before him, making your supplications known unto him. Pray. In Jesus' name, we pray. Finally, we are going to commit our Easter retreat 2019 into the hand of the Lord. And we're going to tell the Lord this morning, God will make this retreat a spectacular one. One that we have not experienced in time past, the move of the power of God in an unprecedented manner like it, in Jesus' name. Open your mouth and pray now. In every aspect of this retreat, in publicity, in participation, in the manifestation of the power of God, God will make it unprecedented. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Father, we thank you so much this morning. We bless and glorify your name for the short time to pray. We know you are a faithful prayer answering God.